Thanks everybody for coming out. Let's ask the Lord to take the wheel this morning. Father God, we're coming this morning from a lot of different places and circumstances, and we just ask you to help us to quiet our hearts and that you would open up our ears and our minds and our hearts to receive from you. Holy Spirit, you just take complete control this morning. Thank you so much, Father, for these your people, my family, brothers and sisters. And Lord, help us just to hear from you and together to take the next step towards what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're talking about satisfaction in God. That's a great thing, man. We're shooting to be really satisfied. And I have suggested that we get closer to being satisfied in God the more we allow him to really transform our life. We talked about that guy who got saved 30 years ago and had been sitting in the same spot in that same pew all those years and really hadn't experienced much transformation in their life. And so I would like to just throw this question out there. Why is real transformation so hard? I mean, if it was easy, we'd all be just, you know, walking around just like Christ. But why is it hard? Or do you, maybe you disagree. Maybe you think, Ed, that's just you. You find it hard. But hey, I've been transformed a lot in my life. What do you think?
I find it hard because of sometimes the way that I think about myself keeps me from going.
And let me just say, I think you really hit on something important, because the way we think about ourselves can either be based off of truth or it can be based off of lies, right? And there are a lot of lies that come to us a lot of different ways that we just believe. I mean, in my case, a lot of those came when I was just a little kid. And little kids aren't known for being that smart. And you just do the best you can. But if you've been handed a whole bushel of lies and you're a little kid, what are you going to do? Right? Okay, so one thing is, yeah, the things that we've believed and built our life on are lies. That would make transformation hard. What else?
You're having to unlearn ways and habits and things previously. For some people, I mean, it could be, like for me, it's pretty much my whole life of those things I'm having to unlearn.
It's a lot harder to just start from, it's a lot harder to unlearn something than it is just to start from like scratch and try to, you know, you have to get rid of all that wrong information first before you can get the correct information in there. Anything else? Yeah.
I was looking at your handout and I was noticing
that. Wait a minute, that's all of our handout.
The handout.
The handout. Yeah.
And, you know, every time you mess up, you feel like, maybe I'm not getting as far along as I thought I was.
Yeah. Yeah. I want you to remember that, because in just a minute, I want us to come down and talk about these two words here, okay? Because that could get very discouraging. And that might be part of the reason why we don't experience a lot of transformation, is because we get overwhelmed. And you just get discouraged. What do you think?
And so one week at a time, try to work on something. And not even if you don't master it that week, you just, until you master it, and then you do the next thing.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yes, I have a lot of work to do too.
My question at the beginning was, why is it so hard for us to really be transformed? I mean, if it was easy, we'd all be there. That reminds me, when I was a young Christian, just been saved a year or two, and somebody challenged me about that worldly music that I was listening to, which there was a lot of great music back there in the 70s. But anyway, and they challenged me about this. And I feel like the Lord gave me wisdom at that moment to say, you know what? The Lord probably has a list of the things that he wants to see transformed in me. And it's not just a little one, it kind of falls out, you know, like this. And I say, I imagine that's probably on that list somewhere. But maybe it's not right up there, the top one or two things. And maybe when I wake up in the morning, I say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. And I give you permission to start trying to, you know, work on these things and transform them. Maybe he was wanting to work on more like the selfishness that I was struggling with. And then we'll get down to, you know, who I listen to. Anyway, any other thoughts about why it's so hard for us to be transformed? Well, yep.
I have a few of those songs that while I'm doing what I'm doing, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or even, it's not anybody else's business except me and the Lord, but they're not songs that draw you back in it. They're not bad.
Yep.
They're just good.
Yeah.
But besides that, I'd like to look at that as chiropractic. And when you go for your alignment, get it all, because it's all there in your spine.
Uh-huh.
You start there first, and then you can go to the doctor. Hey, and
yeah.
That, it wants to go back to where it's used to pounding that concrete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not dancing through the tulips like the hippie days.
Yeah. 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 We get in those ruts and patterns. It's very natural for us to kind of go that way. So being transformed means getting out of a rut and starting a new pattern, learning something new. Yeah.
And because we've been in those past patterns or behaviors, and we're continually exposed to them, even though we've made the change,
uh-huh.
It still affects how we behave, how we act, how we think, because we're in constant exposure to it.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you're trying to do yourself or what your mind is trying to do. And
right.
It's just a constant exposure.
No question that we're sailing against a real headwind all the time, right? Yeah. And, you know, I think if we are very honest, we just have to say, you know, our hearts, our own hearts are pretty sinful, right? I mean, just that's how we're wired is... it's sad to say, but yeah, we're just kind of naturally inclined to head off in another direction from what God wants for us. All right, let me go to the next thing. Those of you that were here last week, I just can't tell you how thankful I was for your participation in the little thing that we did, the handout sheet that you got. I thought that was... I mean, it was really discouraging to see how easy we could come up with those things. But it was really good. And I mean, if you just look down at some of those things, we could probably double the size of that list today if we thought about it more. But I wanted to open up the floor for a minute to ask if there would be anyone who would be willing to just share about what you saw on your list. I did have one person make a comment. wasn't even in this room, but they thought that. Can I borrow your sheet just a second? Oh, wait a minute. I need that other sheet. Anybody got the other sheet with the fruit and the root? Yeah. They made this one suggestion, and it was, oh, it's on here. It's what lies might I be believing about God? If we just turned out and said, if we just came out and said, this is who God is, Man, that would be so blasphemous that that'd be really hard to say. So to say, what lies might I be believing about God? I think that's closer to the truth, because it's not who God is. It's the lie that I'm believing about him. But anybody want to just share just a moment about your experience of kind of working through that little exercise and going from up here, like what we're doing, down to where is that coming from down deep inside of me and my heart? Anybody? Deb?
Well, I just wanted to thank our church and everybody in this room for being a part of what God has done in my life, because I'll be going along and then I'll start having symptoms of my life, the way I'm working it isn't working for me.
Yeah.
It is so, it feels so good. And so then that encourages me, because life, you know, here we are in this world and I'm doing hard things, and so something else will be exposed. But because God's done such a great work already, then it's easier to ask him to help me with this new thing.
Yeah.
And I'll go to the same supports, this Sunday school class.
Mm-hmm.
Praise and worship, church, all these supports that we have here that I appreciate, and it's a lot of dedication and commitment by a lot of people that I really appreciate.
Yeah. Thank you, Dad. Anybody else want to just share something off of, like, as you work through that, a little eye-opening? I mean, it's not a great thing to have your eye open to, but when you start looking like, what's driving some of these behaviors and what must I be believing about God?
I know I've already spoken, but this, can I go to this list here?
Uh-huh.
What really, I don't know who wrote indifferent under love. That's good, because it's kind of like when Jesus said, I wish you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth, vomit the God of my mouth. Okay, sorry about that, but that indifference is...
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, it's not good to do, but that's...
It's kind of an eye-opener. If that's my attitude, then...
Different?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. All right. I want to share this quote right here from a pastor that I really appreciate his ministry, Pastor Tim Keller. And this is a quote that he has that I think would be good for us to listen to and maybe even jot down if you're a jotter downer type. We are more... sinful than we ever dared believe. Okay? And as evidence of that is the handout sheet that we just got. Like, if you don't see yourself on there somewhere, just ask somebody who knows you well, and they'll tell you where you are on there. We are more sinful than we ever dared believe. But because Jesus Christ, let me get this right. Because Jesus Christ lived, died in your place, and rose again, we are more loved than we ever dared hope. Let's say that all together. Ready? One, two, three, go. We are more sinful than we ever dared believe. But because Jesus Christ lived, died in our place, and rose again, we are more loved than we ever dared hope. That's bad news and good news. That's the gospel. It's a two-sided coin. But what a wonderful thing to remind ourselves this morning, that we are more loved than we ever dared hope. And so that brings me to these two words. I want to take just a minute to talk about dignity and depravity. I wasn't sure if everybody knew what depravity was, but like being depraved, it kind of pretty much means sinful. But we have this tension in our life that is the tension between this and this, right? And this is true. We are more sinful than we ever dare believe. And yet, at the same time, we are also more loved than we ever dared hope. And so, I am kind of digging through your trash today and last Sunday, looking down deep into our hearts and saying, really, you know, hey, there's junk there. But I don't want to just stop on the depravity side. I don't want us to forget that we are also loved more than we ever dared hope. And that gives us dignity. Because even though we are fallen creatures, we were created in the image of God. And He is crazy about us in our messed up, corrupt, stained, sinful, rotten condition. He still loves us passionately. And so, what that does for us is, if we weren't convinced that He loved us, if we weren't really convinced that He loved us, what would we do with all this junk? If we didn't know for a fact that His only begotten Son had died to take care of that problem and forgive us and restore us to a right relationship with Him, what would we do? And it reminds me of a time when I was a teenager running around barefooted on the mountainside in West Virginia with my five little brothers. And there's a tree called a honey locust tree. And if anybody knows anything about a honey locust tree, it's got thorns on it that are like huge. And so running around barefoot, guess what I stepped on? And it went up into my calloused heel and broke off. And so I limped around for days because you know what it was going to take to get that thing out of there? And so came to the moment when I just decided I couldn't keep limping around. And so I went to my dad and I said, can you help me with this? My mom had this, she used to darn our socks, and a darning needle is like, and so he He had me kind of get down there in a position where he kind of get my foot up there, and he bent over that, and he began to pick at it with that needle. And it was excruciating, and it started bleeding, and he had to dig deeper because, I mean, he's going through, like, thick callus because I'd run around barefoot all for a long time. And I remember he finally got to that point where he flipped the needle around to the blunt end, and he kind of rubbed it back and forth over the place where that thorn had gone in. And in one moment, it kind of burst loose, and the head of it kind of popped up out of there. And it was one of those glory hallelujah moments, you know, when you see that thing coming out. But that is a lot of, it's an example of what do we do when we've got this problem with, like, this sin that's inside, and that, you know, it's painful. And what do? We limp around for a long time, right? Why? Because it could hurt, you know, when they get that darning needle out and get ready to deal with it. And so what do? We, like, push it down, right? And how many people have lived a long time with past hurts and wounds? Just shove it down, just shove it down, just shove it down. But when we're convinced that our Father, our Heavenly Father, loves us more than we ever dared hope, and is the only one who can really take care of that issue, whatever it is, and can really see us set on a path to healing, it's only then that we can turn to Him and say, I need help. I need help. And some of us have grown up with maybe fathers that weren't like that. And we've been afraid to go to Him for that help.
I like the quote, I had to look it up to get it right, where it says that change happens when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change.
That's good.
And I think that with healing, that's really where, like, you have to get so sick of the sin that you're walking in every day.
Right.
To say, I'm willing to do the work.
Yes. Yes.
But the reward is worth it.
Exactly.
Talking about dads, I view God as angry and always waiting to fuss on me and do these things. But that's because that's the way I viewed my earthly dad.
Yeah.
And so once that light bulb was turned on for me, that I was putting that same correlation there, I could read through the Old Testament, and all I saw were examples of the lie that I believed.
Yeah.
It looks like an angry God.
Uh-huh.
But once that veil, that lie was taken away, I see it completely different now.
Yes.
But we skew even the word of God to fit the lies and the narrative that we believe.
Yeah. Thank you, Kelly. That's good.
Can I say something?
Please.
Well, my dad removed the thorn.
Yeah.
And it was painful.
Yeah.
You know, it was a painful process. But to keep me from kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't stop the screaming, but from kicking.
Uh-huh.
To take a pocket knife and remove that thorn was painful.
Yeah.
But the joy, like you said, the hallelujah moment,
yeah,
that comes when it's been removed.
Yeah.
You know, because you're in pain and you're in suffering and bondage during that process.
Uh-huh.
Once you're freed from that,
yeah,
you experience that joy and that happiness.
Let me ask you this question. Why would your dad put you through all that?
Because he loved me and he wanted to remove that thorn because it was causing me pain.
Exactly.
I'm going to
Yes.
Aspect of pain.
Yeah.
Even though you know that if you deal with whatever that emotion is, let's say fear can almost lock you down.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Saga, because we get lost in our own space and time.
Right.
It, you know, mm-hmm. I'm saying, no, like myself, I deal sometimes with, not all the time, but as Debbie so well put, it will come up.
Yeah.
When I'm least expected, of this feeling of unworthiness.
Right.
Or not being valued.
So.
But I can walk in that door.
Yeah.
And because you remind me all the time, Vicki, I love you.
Yeah. We're all going to come over and hug you right after this, okay?
I mean, I'm just
yeah.
telling you mm-hmm. an emotion
yeah.
that will pop up.
Sure.
And I have to confront.
Right. So what I'm hoping to accomplish through this time is that to encourage all of us, you know, to be willing to take those next steps, because to satisfaction, to being transformed, to being healed. And the thing, I think what happens is, here we are, I mean, this is a Holy Spirit church, and it's the Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to look down inside and helps us to see stuff that, blind spots, I mean, I've got plenty of blind spots. And we all have these blind spots. And it's not just because we're dumb. Sometimes it's like coping skills. Sometimes it's just self-preservation, right? I've got this thorn in me, and it's going to hurt to pull it out. But as we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to just shine the light of truth down into those dark corners, I'm hoping that we'll get, as we go, we get to the place where we trust our Father more, you know, to forgive us and to heal us and to help us to change. And we get, as we get more mature in the Lord and grow in Him, we can get to the place where we're more sensitive to more and more of these things. Is that, you know, I didn't even realize that was well, there's something else. Well, here, Father, help me with this. Please, you know, repent. I repent of this. Take this. Please forgive me of this and heal me. Yes.
Another wound inflicted here, another wound inflicted there. And so there's so
a big crater.
That's not how he is.
Yeah.
That's not healing.
Yeah.
He takes what needs to be taken when it needs to be taken, mm-hmm. when you're ready.
Yeah.
Say, here you go.
Yeah. Let me ask again. I'm going to throw this out to everybody, but as we're asking the, you know, as we're taking a deep dive and trying to look down to those dark corners of our own hearts, we could have one of two things happen. And one of those is that we could come under conviction, or the other thing is that we could come under condemnation. And could somebody help us out with, like, what's the difference between those two, and what do we want to be careful of, and what do we want to seek?
Conviction has hope, but condemnation doesn't.
Say that again.
Conviction has hope with it, but condemnation doesn't.
I like that. Hope, and condemnation is no hope.
Conviction induces change. When I'm convicted of something through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm incited to change.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It took all my hope out of the situation.
Good. Good.
There's grace and conviction.
Yes.
But condemnation is just
grace. Yeah. This one's coming from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That was right out of the hot place. And you know, I don't know. Am I the only one that's ever struggled with that sense of condemnation when I take a look at, I mean, when I'm trying to be transparent enough to take a look into my heart, and I'm going like, what a loser. I don't think so. And yet, God invites us to look into our hearts because of who he sees us as and because of his great love for us, and that he's that Father that loves us and wants to see us healed and whole. But we can't get there unless we got the courage to look, to open it up, to say, here's my heart, Lord. You know, look at it.
One more thing. She was talking about the vines and how, you know, she discovered that there's more than one. When I think of condemnation, I think of it being one of the most vital tools that the enemy uses against us, because it literally will wrap you up to the point where you are totally ineffective in the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so through that condemnation, he will keep you at a place that you don't understand who you are, or you forget, or you're blinded about who you are.
Yeah.
And we become that ineffective person. But when we learn that it's to recognize it when it comes on,
uh-huh.
instead examine it from the point of conviction, is this something I need to change? Is this something that, you know,
yeah. Very good. All right. So I'm getting ready to flip the board over here. And when I do, you guys have been sitting still too long. And I had such a fun time getting you to come up to the board last week that I'm going to have you come up again with these little red markers. But oh, goodness. I hate to do it to you. But yes.
Will you flip that?
Okay. Yeah.
We don't have to ask for that forgiveness. We have to accept the fact that he's done that.
Yeah.
And we have to repent.
Yes.
Yes. But when you accept the fact that he's already forgiven us,
yes.
he loves us so much, it makes a huge difference.
Just talking about we have to repent of whatever it is that we've done, but then we have to believe that he really has forgiven us. And I feel like there's a lot of people that say, okay, I really repenting and really asking forgiveness, but I have to walk around with my head down and my tail between my legs for like at least a few days here to try to earn his forgiveness. Like I have to do penance, right? And
that's why I probably don't say it as good.
Yeah.
But that's the main difference. If you believe that he's already forgiven you.
Yeah.
And he only made one perfect human being.
Yep.
Jesus. And so we know we're not perfect. And if we realize he's already forgiven us, we don't go through that transition. We don't have to ask. We don't have to try to earn that forgiveness.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because he's already done it.
Yeah.
And but we need, if we truly are sorry for what we did.
Yes.
And want to accept his forgiveness.
Uh-huh.
Then we have to repent.
Yeah.
And
I feel like sometimes one of my sins is just the sin of unbelief. It's like do I really believe that God has completely forgiven me? Or do I have to kind of like walk through penance and, you know, try to do something to earn that? And so now I need to repent of unbelief and just accept what he says is true. He loves me. He's forgiven me. Yes. All right.
I was sitting here thinking how God so graciously used all of our beloved. That's who we are. That's what we have, the compassion and love. If we didn't have these areas in our life, these followers, God,
yeah.
Use
yes.
For his glory.
Yes. You know, it takes a person who's been broken
yes. And
then healed to be able to minister to somebody else who's walking through that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We are trophies of his grace. And as we have experienced transformation, man, what hope we can bring to other people who are just struggling. You know, he wants to do this in us for his glory and because he loves us, right? Okay, now, I'm going to start preaching and go to meddling right here. And what I'm going to do is flip this board, finally. And we're going to have a little vote. And you got 5 minutes, right, until we're actually done. But these are possible idols that some people struggle with. These are the things that we've been blind to down deep in the corners. And I want you to I'll just go through them real quickly. For some people, achievement, it becomes a thing that can take the place of God in their life. Approval, people-pleasing. A comfort or entertainment, you know, like I just got to have my Netflix. Control, you know, that can be an idol. Dependence, having somebody else that's taking care of you. Your family can become an idol. These are good things, not necessarily bad, but when they take the place of God in our life. Belonging and part of a group. Having to feel like you're valuable because you help other people. Your image, being independent, individualism, being part of that inner circle, knowing stuff, your security, financial security, having power, your race or your culture, relationships, religion can be an idol, suffering, and you're noble because you're laying your life down for other people, technology, your work, ministry could actually come to the place where it trumps God, politics, I could probably put more, but why don't you take a minute and come up and vote for two or three or whatever that you say, you know, these could be some things in my life that might be a temptation. So, want to run up and let's see how many check marks we can get up here. And we're going to just see like the American Idol show. This is our like, come just start, run up here and just throw up however many checks you want to put on different things that you'd say, yeah, you know. That could be a temptation to me. Anybody else want to vote real quick? There you go. Can somebody just, as we finish up here, can somebody find that verse that talks about, that says, talking to the Lord, like, search me and know me? Can somebody just find that for us? And that'll be our closing prayer today. Lord, you look at my heart. You search me. Anybody having any luck finding that one? Or remember where that one is off the top of your head? Psalm 139. And could somebody just read that to us?
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxiety. See if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of life.
Okay. Let me have you, let's just bow our heads. And could you repeat that? And let's let that be the prayer of our heart. With this idea that as we ask for that, we're turning to a loving Father who's all about forgiving us, who's all about healing us, who's all about transforming us so that we can be those satisfied children that bring Him praise and glory. Can you just read that one last time? And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Great job again today, guys. Appreciate y'all.